Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we know that it's found at the cross. Forgiveness is at the cross. Salvation is at the cross. All that we need took place upon the cross. And Lord, we thank you that you are alive and in love with us, and you have a plan and a hope and a future. Ah, you have a future for us. And so, Lord, we praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you have a good turkey day? Come on. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving after the fact. All right, hey, I've got a couple of quick announcements. First of all, for those of you who go to men and women's Bible study, we're taking a break. I love that. We're going to take a break until January 4th, and then we'll be back. You know, a lot of people are going out of town. There's a holiday. So, you know, just enjoy the holidays, and we'll be back January 4th, and they will be raring to go. Also, we have an all servants, that's overseers and servants, if you serve in any ministry. We have an all servants meeting after this service right here in the sanctuary. So if you could stick around, that'd be awesome. We have some things to go over, some important things. And with that, by the way, this next Saturday, we're having an all servants luncheon. It's our way of saying thank you for all your service. We're also doing a mug exchange, whether it be coffee or cocoa, you know, just bring a mug and we're going to exchange that. And we're going to do some different things. We're going to have a fun time. But we need to know how many of you are going to be there. So if you could please put your name on the list, and I'll remind you again at the all servants meeting. But if you can't stay to that, please put your name on the list. Very important, so we can order the food this week. And so there you go. All right. If you would please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. We are going to look at the four horsemen conquering. If you need a Bible, the ushers will make sure that you have one in your hand. We're going to look at the white horse, verse 1 and 2, the red horse, 3 and 4, black horse, 5 and 6, and the pale horse in 7 and 8. Now, we are about to embark on some heavy stuff. Real heavy, but I want you to know that this is the good stuff compared to what's ahead. But it ain't going to sound like it, but you know, hey, so it's going to be heavy. But you know, as I was going through this, I thought of my mom. She passed away. I do miss her dearly. But one of the times that she came to stay with us for a little while, she liked to play solitaire on a computer, and she's not computer savvy at all, but she could play solitaire and she liked that. So what I did was I gave her an old computer that I had that was still perfectly fine, working well. It was just, you know, I had moved on. And so she took it, she was excited. And then sometimes she got back to where she lives and found out that they had internet for the whole complex provided. And so she called me one day and she said, Randy, I go, yeah, Mom. She goes, mijo, I want you to teach me the internets. And I'm like, are you coming to visit? Or she goes, no, mijo, you can do it over the phone. And I was like, oh boy, okay. I'm going to teach you the internets over the phone. Now, imagine trying to teach someone who knows nothing about computer other than solitaire. Okay. Well, so I'm preparing, and I say, all right, Mom, the first thing you need to do is open up Windows. She goes, but mijo, it's hot outside. She's like, but wait, will that help me get better connection to the internets if I open the window? I was like, no, Mom. So she opened the internets, and then I said, do you see a blue E with a line through it? She says, yes. I said, click twice on the mouse. And she goes, oh, do you mean the foot pedal? She had put the mouse on the floor like it was a sewing machine. I said, Mom, pick up the pedal and put it on top of the desk. She goes, okay. She's sweet. Now listen, she finally got email to work, and she sent me her first, she called me, she goes, Mijo, I did it, I sent you an email. I was like, great. Well, the whole message was in the subject bar. So I had to read a piece, delete it, and I could see the read a piece, delete it. I was like, but hey, you know what? It's cool. She figured it out. Here's my point. I didn't just tell you that story. Imagine this. John, God is showing him things that he could never comprehend. And now it's his responsibility to convey that message to us and try and help us understand. Listen, he's been trying to explain what he has seen as he's caught up in heaven as a picture of the rapture of the church. He sees the spiritual side. What we're going to see today is the spiritual side of what's going to happen to the world physically, but he can see it from the spiritual end. The people on the earth won't see the things we're going to hear today. They're only going to feel the effects. Now, when we come to a section like this, in order for us to understand, it's like trying to learn the internets. We have to take it one step at a time. We need to move slowly. We will have a spiritual vision, and he will do the best he can to explain it to us. Now, here's what's cool. We have never seen the stuff that's going to be explained here. We have never seen it. John's never seen it. But guess what? We will never see it. Why? Because we're going to be raptured. We're going to be out of here. Now, I've shown you before in the previous chapters that the rapture is laced throughout. It's laced in here too. I had someone ask me before, is the rapture in Revelation? And like, it absolutely is. Well, guess what? We're going to see it here too. So we're never going to see the stuff that's going to transpire on the earth here in this section. It reminds me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 10, it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope and salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now, he has not appointed us to wrath. Understand this. See, some people will say, listen, Pastor, you teach a pre-tribulation rapture that before the tribulation comes, the church escapes. Why would the church get to escape that when we've seen the church suffer for centuries? Why is this generation so special? Understand this. What transpires in the tribulation is not persecution. It's not persecution at all. The church of past, and even the church, some churches today that are suffering persecution, God bless you, by the way, is at the hand of man. What's going to transpire in Revelation is God's wrath, his judgment, his righteous judgment upon sin. Now, so we might see some persecution of the church. We might. But here's what we won't see. We will not see God's wrath poured out upon his church. Now, have you ever said this? Have you ever said, I have? Man, how long will the wicked prosper? Listen, sometimes it seems like I do something wrong, I get caught. I don't get away with it. Why? Because I'm God. I'm not God. I'm God's child. That didn't come out right. Like moving out of the way, right? That's going to help. No, I belong to God. You belong to God. So that's why sometimes it feels like, man, we mess up. We get caught because God loves us enough. The wicked prosper. Why? Because they're wicked. They don't belong to him. Here's the cool part. Like if it's cool, it's really not. Here's the sad part. When you ask how long will the wicked prosper, well, here in this section of Scripture, it's the end of the prosperity of the wicked, and it's the time that the wicked become judged. Listen, we see a lot of wickedness going on in the world. Guess what? They're not going to get away with it. They can try and hide. They can do things in secret. God will reveal it and will bring it to light. So let's look at the white horse in verse 1 and 2. Now I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. Remember, only the Lamb was worthy. Only the Lamb. Why? Well, because he was slain. He took the sins of the world. He went to the cross. In the previous chapter, we understand that when he took the scroll, it was the history of the destiny of mankind and creation, the judgment upon creation and mankind for the sins that we have done, starting with Adam and Eve. Now, when the Lord, as the Lamb, takes the scroll, heaven explodes in worship. The church was raptured, and we're there. The heavenly hosts are there. All of creation worshiped, everything in the ocean and under the earth. And we talked about whales. We talked about how cool that was, that maybe they're worshiping. That's a long. Go back, listen to the message. I'm not going to relive that. So here it says that Jesus opens one of the seals. By the way, it's not the first seal. It's just one of the seals. They're not numbered. Now, they might be, but we're not told their number. Here, the word is Maya, which means one of the seals. Oftentimes it says, and he opened the first seal. Well, it's the first seal that he opened. I'm not sure they're numerical, but they may be. God is a God of order. But here the wording is Maya, which means he opened one of them. Now, the seals could be along the edge, or it could be along the top to where he breaks a seal and he peels a little bit. We're not sure. Listen, God can do the seals any way he wants. But nevertheless, Lord Jesus breaks one of the seals. And he says this, I heard one of the four living creatures, remember the four living creatures? They got the wings, the four heads, they got eyeballs all over their bodies. They're loud, they're huge, they're loud. I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder. Loud. You ever have a lightning storm and you see that lightning hit and it cracks loud? You ever have one of those that like rattles the whole house? Well, that's kind of what this angel sounds like when he talks. So he says, one of the four living creatures say with a loud voice, with a thundering voice, come and see. Now, no doubt, when you have a angel, ominous, powerful, loud, full of wings, has wings and full of eyes, and the creature full of eyes says, hey, come and see. Well, he's got eyes everywhere. When he's looking, and John might be going, dude, I'm doing the best I can. I only have two. But the idea is this. Come and see. Look intently. Take note of the details. Pay attention. That's the idea. Side note. Right now, as we're doing this Bible study, do you realize that God is holding back evil? Listen, I don't know about you, but I look around the world and I'm like, man, can it get any more evil? Uh-huh. Listen, we got horrible things going on, but right now, there are angels that are so wicked that they won't listen to God. They're horrible. Because listen, most angels, even though demons are fallen angels, most of the fallen angels, even though they're demonic, when God comes, the Bible says that demons tremble. They know Jesus and they tremble. So that's what we have. There's a certain number of demons that are in they're locked up in the abyss, the abuso. And one day, and by the way, in Revelation chapter 9, wait till we get there. Holy moly. Revelation chapter 9, the abyss, the abuso is unlocked, and these demons that will not obey God are released. How do I know they won't obey God? Jude chapter 1, verse 6. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of the authority of God gave them, but left the place where they belong. God kept them securely chained in prison of darkness. Watch this. Waiting for the great day of judgment. So here are these angels. By the way, that was a New Living Translation if you were following along in the New King James. I just like the wording there because in the New King James, it says chained with everlasting chains. That's not a proper translation because it's not everlasting. It probably feels everlasting to these demons. They want to get out and cause havoc. But they get released in Revelation chapter 9 in order to do their deeds. God will not, hear me, will not release these wicked, evil demons while his bride is on earth. And you'll see. 2 Thessalonians, remember we read 1 Thessalonians? Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now concerning the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathered and our being gathered to him, that's the rapture. We ask you, brothers and sisters, do not become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word or by mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Listen, there were people running around saying, oh yeah, Paul, the rapture has already come. Jesus has already come back. It's already happened. And Paul is saying, he's saying, no. Don't believe that. He hasn't already come. And by the way, there were commentaries that I looked at that said they believed that right now we're living out the first two horses of the four horses of apocalypse. No, not even close. In fact, they attributed the first horse to the COVID. I'm like, bing, 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 bing. No, stop it. Stop it. And I'm going to prove it to you. But okay, so he says, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come, do not let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come. Watch this. The day will not come until rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the Antichrist, the man of doom, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in the in God's temple and proclaims himself to be God. Do you remember when I was with you? I used to tell you these things, and now you know what, watch this, what is holding him back, holding who back? The Antichrist. That he may be revealed at a proper time. So the Antichrist is to be revealed at a proper time. He's being held back. He's on, I believe, and everyone I know, all my pastor friends believe, the Antichrist is alive and is behind the scenes, but he's being held back. Why? Just like the demons in the Abuso, in the abyss, are being held back because God's bride is here. Let me prove it to you. He says, that he may reveal in proper time, verse 7, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds it back, the Holy Spirit, will continue to do so till he, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. Whoa, the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way? Well, where is the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, we know this. Jesus Christ said, I must go so that the Helper may come. Remember after the cross, before the day of Pentecost, he told the disciples, listen, I got to go. It's better for you that I leave because then I'll send the Helper. The Holy Spirit is whose Helper? The church, us, ours. It's for us. Where does the Holy Spirit reside? In us. So if the Antichrist is being held back until the Spirit is taken out of the way, guess who goes with the Spirit? Ta-da! That's the rapture. The Antichrist will not be revealed. When he is revealed, bad news. Bad news. So, although there's hatred and killing and raping and pedophiles, and war, and starvation, it's nothing compared to the day that God lets the demonic realm have at it. Brothers and sisters, you know what that should do to our hearts? It should make us have an urgency. For who? For those who don't know Jesus that we say we love. See, that's the point. If you and I get raptured out of here, the people we love are about to go through a living hell before they go to the true hell. Spooky. Verse 2. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. Now, horses are a sign of power and steadfastness in this time. In fact, in a military setting, a horse was equivalent to like a tank today or an Apache helicopter. It was a powerful beast. In fact, if we look at Job, Job will describe how he views and the temperature of the time. Horses are powerful. You know, to us today, it's like, it's a horse. You know, cars are faster. But at that time, a horse was there. Listen to the description. Job 39, verse 19 through 25. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because of the trumpet he has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, "Ah!" He smells the battle afar off, the thunder of captains and shouting. Listen to that description of that horse. Power. Listen, they trained their war horses. They were not afraid of battle. They put those little blinders on, and the horse knew to go straight ahead, obeying its master, moving with power. And if you, the more horses you had, the more power you had. So it's a very high view of horses. So here we have this white horse and a rider on this horse, and it speaks of him having power. Now, some have said, some commentaries, listen, when you read commentaries, yay, go for it, but always question. Some commentaries say that this is Jesus Christ on the white horse. Even Matthew Henry, I was surprised to see that Matthew Henry says that this is Jesus. No, and I'm going to prove it to you. Yes, Jesus Christ does come on a white horse, not until Revelation 19. Then he comes on a white horse. But here's the thing. The white horse is followed by a red horse of war and a black horse of famine and a pale horse of death. When Jesus comes, he brings peace and life. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes of many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. He's talking about the end time when Jesus Christ takes over. So see the contrast? Well, you're going to see. You see, this during this period, it's going to be horrific. It's going to be absolutely horrific. Not peaceful. You know what some people say? Listen, when do you think the tribulation starts? Some people think, because it's 7 years, they think it starts at 3.5 years. Then it gets bad. Listen, it gets horrible after 3.5 years. I mean, wait till you see. If you haven't read it, but even if you've read it, wait till we pick it apart. It gets absolutely horrible at 3.5 years. However, you cannot say that this is peaceful. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 11, listen, there are two witnesses. There are two witnesses walking around, and they're proclaiming Jesus Christ, and they're telling people to repent, turn away. Now, while they're doing this, horrible things are happening on the earth. In the first 3.5 years, because that's what they're going to do. Three witnesses will be running around for 3.5 years. Here's what it says in Revelation 11:10. And those who dwelled on the earth will rejoice over them. Why? Because they killed them. And make merry and send gifts to one another. So it's going to be like, you know, Mary Dead Prophet Day. It's going to be their version of Christmas. Here, you want a gift? I want a gift. What do you want? A toaster or, you know, whatever. So they're going to give gifts to each other. Why? Because the prophets are done. Watch this. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwelled on the earth. Now, did you notice the word? They didn't torture anybody. They tormented them. How did they torment them? The same way you and I torment people. When we tell them they need to repent and they're in sin, the grief, the conviction torments them. That's why some people get angry. They're tormented. Did you know in hell, it's not God torturing people in hell. It says you will be tormented. Why? Because you'll recognize that you had an opportunity to receive Christ and you don't want him. You're there because you are guilty. It's just going to eat you alive along with the worms, by the way. It's torment. It's not torture. Torment is internal. So they're mad at these two prophets for 3.5 years. Why? They're torment. It's horrible. When they're dead, they're like, wee, and it doesn't last long. Now, here's the guy on the horse. And he who sat on the horse had a bow. Now, this isn't a rainbow. This isn't a bow tie like Orville Redenbacher or the Colonel. By the way, the Colonel is all white. He may be. He might be the Force Horseman. That's not chicken you're eating. No, okay. That was horrible. I'm sorry. He has a bow. What is a bow? It's a weapon of war. But notice what he doesn't have. Arrows. He doesn't have arrows. Listen, what this says is the guy on white, in white, on this white horse with a bow, he has military might, but he doesn't conquer by might. He conquers with promises of peace. He says, I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to bring peace. Do you realize that's what the Antichrist is going to do? What do you think is going to happen when the rapture happens and a large number of Christians are taken? You know what's going to happen? There's going to be total chaos on the earth. People are going to be freaking out. They're going to go, what? What? And here comes this dude in white. Listen, I got the answer. He's going to be handsome, charming, a smooth talker. Ladies, watch out. You won't be here. Stop it. If you are, woo, have at. No, I'm just teasing. That was terrible. Gosh. Let me pray. I'm getting carried away here. Father God, Lord, I just, may we focus, Lord, on you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. See, he has power, but he doesn't use it. He's given, well, look at this. So he has a bow, and a crown was given to him. A crown. So people go, aha, Pastor Rennie, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. White horse, he's got power, he's got a bow, he's bringing peace, and he's got a crown. It's Jesus. No, watch. This crown here is called, in the Greek, a Stephanos. A Stephanos is a wreath or garland. It's like one of those cloth, not cloth, but one of those branch kind of flowery little leafy crowns that they would give someone who ran a marathon or competed in the Greek games. He's got one of those. But whenever it's talking about a crown for Jesus, it's a diadem, not a Stephanos. A diadem is a royal crown. You see the difference? This guy is a fake. You want to know why he comes in white? Why he has power, but he's promising peace? Why he has a crown? Because Satan copies God. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. So what does he do? You have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've got the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the unholy Trinity, and the whole. He just copies God. So here you have a fake Christ, a fake Messiah, promising, because look what it says, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Surprise! Surprise. Why? Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says that Satan And these angels can disguise themselves as angels of light. That's what he's doing. He's in all white. He's handsome. He's attractive. He's charming. He's got power, but he doesn't flex his muscles. He's a deceiver. He's an imposter. See, on the outside, he looks great. He says all the right things, but in his heart is destruction, not peace. Julius Caesar said this, Vini, Vidi, Vici. You go, what does that mean? I came, I saw, I conquered. Do you know that's what Satan wants to say about you? Satan wants to say, Vini, Vidi, Vici. I came, I saw, and I conquered, Randy. He wants to conquer us. That's why 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Ooh, look out. Because your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, here's the thing you need to know about lions. Lions roar after they've killed the prey. Before they've done that, they're sleek and quiet. They're on the hunt. When Satan comes at you, he is sleek and quiet until he's conquered you, and then he roars, I got him. Vini, Vidi, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. Sad. Here, white horse, unassuming, like a hero, knight in shining armor. Oh, no. He's just a copy. He's just a copy. You know, it's like he wants to copy God. You know, there are a lot of Elvis and Michael Jackson impersonators. They walk around. Satan wants to be a God impersonator. He wants to impersonate God. He's got a big bell bottoms, big belt buckle, pork chop sideburns.
Maybe not.
Like a Hermitage, that kind of thing. This is the Antichrist. In Daniel chapter 9, you have the 70 weeks of Daniel. I don't have time to spill this out, but it's a great thing for you to study. 69 weeks to the day have already taken place. That's when Jesus rode in on the donkey, to the day, from the decree. To the day, you can count out the days, perfect. Then we are in the age of grace until the last 7 weeks of years, which is 7 years, when God's judgment comes down. He removes his bride and he allows Satan to take over. And here it says he went out conquering to conquer. So it brings a false peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 3 says, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. You ladies who have had babies, you know when your water breaks, you can't say, you know, I'm not ready. You don't have a choice. It's the same thing. When Satan comes upon those that we love that are not saved, they can't say, oh, I made a boo-boo. It's too late.
Too late.
Man thinks he can make peace. He really does. You know, in the last 3,000 years, there have been over 8,000 formal peace treaties, all of them broken. All 8,000 in 3,000 years, over 8,000 peace treaties, none of them last. Why? Men are evil. One person said this, peace is the brief and glorious moment in history when everyone stops to reload. Isn't that sad?
It's so true.
So just so you know, here's a guy on the white horse. He's bringing peace. He's got power. He looks charming, looks great, but it's temporary. Watch. Here we go. Red horse. Verse 3 through 4. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come see. Now notice, for each one of the horses, there is one of the living creatures before God that say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Each one of them introduces. I wonder if that's what the four horsemen are, is Satan's version of those four creatures that stand before God. Interesting. But notice he doesn't say with the thundering voice. I think John's getting used to it now. It's like the first time, oh, he's loud. Then, oh, he's powerful. And this is thunder. And he's like, yeah, he was loud. And I heard a second living creature say, come see. And another horse, fiery red, went out. Now notice, Satan didn't come on a fiery red horse. He comes on a white horse. He didn't come on a red fiery horse with a cape. He didn't come like that. You know, that's Hollywood sucker punch. You know, I don't watch scary movies. I used to watch them. I used to love scary movies. I don't anymore. But every now and then I'll see a commercial for a scary movie. And the monsters are always, the demons are always ugly and grotesque. And listen, some demons are. But that's the sucker punch. When you see Satan, or not you, when people see Satan and he's beautiful and charming, well, he can't be evil. He doesn't have worms coming out his eyes. And, you know, there's not blood dripping out. You know, none of that stuff. He's, look at him. He's good looking. What a deceiver. But here we have a red horse. Red is symbolic. In Revelation 12:3, it says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon with seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns. Notice he likes the number seven too. Why? He copies God. He doesn't have anything original. He can't. He's not a creator. Only God is a creator. And then Revelation 17:3, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, that's blood red, which was full of blasphemies, with seven heads and ten horns. There it is again, copycat. So these horse riders are demonic, all of them. And it was granted to one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. No, it was granted him. It was granted to take peace. The first horse brought peace. The second horse takes peace. Same demonic spirit. Same intent to destroy, kill, steal, but different tactics. Huh. It was granted. Notice it wasn't granted to him to make war. It was granted to him to take peace. And look what happens when he takes peace. That the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. He was given a great sword. That's symbolic. He has the power, but he didn't have to swing it. It doesn't say he swung it, wielded it. He didn't do any of that thing. See, he took the great sword, but the people are killing each other. Wow. You realize that in today's, to our day and age, we have the ability to kill each other with precision. Like no other time in history. One person said this, war does not determine who was right, it only determines who is left. Wow. Here's some facts, some figures for you. In 2011, the military expenditure of the world amounted to over $2 trillion per year. Per year. That's $5.5 billion a day. Gets better. That's $230 million per hour. In the hour that we're sitting here, $230 million is spent on military. They say that if you took 1 year of military spending, it could feed the whole world for almost 100 years. So why are there hungry people in the world? Because there are evil men in the world. They have to be kept in check. One, this is amazing, one Trident submarine, one, we have many, one Trident submarine has the firepower of all the weapons, all of them fired in World War II, every weapon from every side. One submarine has that much power. Huh. You know what this rider's going to do? This red rider? This red, by the way, all of that stuff, the Trident submarine, all those weapons, all those, that's all our tax dollars. So the rider, he's going to put our money where his mouth is. He's going to speak it, and we're going to kill each other. See, this red rider, he doesn't need to bring destruction. All he has to do is take peace. It was granted to him to take peace. When you take peace, men run to war. That's what happens. See, when God gives men, what God gives men, all Satan has to do is take it away, and then we will be at odds with each other. We will fight each other. You know what? You know what the world fears? We don't, America, you know, we don't fear, I mean, we do, an atom bomb being dropped in a city. You know what's more horrific than that? Take that same bomb. By the way, the atom bomb was 15 kilotons. That's 1,000 tons. It's 15 kilotons. Now our nuclear warheads are 10 megatons. A megaton is a million times. So 1 million would be greater than a 15,000 kiloton. That's a kiloton is 1,000. 15,000 pounds on an atom bomb. So now you got a 1 million, but ours are 10 megaton. If that gives you an idea. Well, listen, if you took one atom bomb and you took it at a high altitude detonation at, say, 30,000 feet, it went off, it would wipe out all the electronics in half of the United States. One. Now, if you had a 10 megaton and you set it off at a high altitude, not only would it wipe out all of United States electronics, but Canada and Mexico as well, with just one. That's why we fear Iraq getting a weapon, because they would do that. It wouldn't kill people. It would be worse. Why? Because, listen, it would kill all electronics. All. Your car won't start. Your cell phone. Yeah, of course. No internet. No Brady Bunch or Isle of Lucy. None of that. It's gone. You can't. If you have a car, if you have a car that will start, you can't get gas because the gas pumps run on electricity. Even, ladies, your hair dryers won't start. Now the horror begins, right? Listen, it will take us back. It would take us back to the Stone Age. It would. That's why Albert Einstein, here's what he said. I do not know what weapons World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Why? Because he recognizes if we have a World War III, after that we'll be in the Stone Age, because that's exactly what they will do. Cars will be paperweights out on the side of the road. Electricity, you'll be cooking. You don't get, well, I have a generator. Pfft, that'll be fried. And it will take years to rebuild the infrastructure. Years. So that would be a slow death for many people. And bad hair day all around. I'm sorry. Listen, I have to make a joke because this is heavy stuff. So the red horse will bring conflict. You know what Plato said? And he's right. Only the dead have seen the end of war. He didn't realize how right he was. You see, God asked you and I to die to ourselves. Listen, before I was saved, there was a conflict. I wanted sin. And God kept saying, no, you need to be saved. And then I got saved, and the conflict even got stronger. Sin, righteousness, sin, righteousness, sin, righteousness. And God says, just die to yourself, and you don't have to experience that war anymore. Not only that, if you will accept Christ today, you don't have to go through this war. You'll be free of that. When we die to self, when we die to self, Satan has nothing left to fight with. Side note, gun laws. Pastor Randy, listen. We shouldn't have guns. You're right. It's so evil. No. You understand? Men are evil. We need to protect ourselves, unfortunately, until the Lord comes to get us. People say, but Pastor Randy, guns kill people. No, guns don't. The other people say, no, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And I say, no, it's not the people. It's not the gun. It's those little bullets. No, it's true. Listen, people do kill people. Here in America, do you realize Thank God for men and women who laid down their lives to keep our freedom so we can do this. Why? Because there are wicked and evil hearts out there. That's why the Second Amendment of the United States of the Constitution says, look, all this argument, listen, why do you need a 30-round magazine to go hunting? I don't need it for hunting. I need it for a tyrannical government. The Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms, watch this, shall not be infringed. Do you realize when they say you and I can't have a fully automatic weapon, they're infringing on our rights. You and I should be able to own a tank if we want one. The right to bear arms should not be infringed. All these things are little infringements. Listen, when a government wants to take your guns, it's because they're up to no good. But Pastor Randy,
yes.
What about being a good Christian? I'm talking about being a good Christian. Let me show you what our Lord and Savior, the meek and mild Jesus, said. The one born in a manger, remember that guy? He said this. Then he said to them, but now, he who has a purse, let him take it. Likewise, his money. He that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. That was Jesus telling his disciples, hey, I'm going to send you guys out. Make sure it's dangerous out there. Carry a sword. Yes, sir. Do you know that in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, it says that if someone is breaking into your house to cause you harm and you take their life, God does not hold you guilty. That's the Lord God. Here's why. It's not the sword. It's not the gun. It's not the bullets. It's the heart that kills people. And men are wicked. Let's move to the black horse because I must go much faster. We got two more horses. We got to get the horses. The black horse, 5 and 6. Then he opened the third seal and I heard the third living creature say, come and see. And I look and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. You know, that's weird. To be riding a horse with scales. Can you imagine? Whoa. Not very balanced, are they? Listen, when you're going to use scales, you need to measure carefully, ration food. You know what this speaks of? It speaks of everything a kilter. Rationing is out the window. You cannot measure when you're on a horse and he has it. And look what he says. He's got a pair of scales in his hands. Verse 16. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. That's a day's wage. And 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine. Pretty weird. Pretty weird there. Don't harm. We'll look at that in a moment. But this denarius, that's a day's wage. For a loaf of bread? A day's wage? If you made $10 an hour, that means a loaf of bread is $80. Yeah. Like Cuba. Venezuela. Socialist. Listen, our world population is 7.7 billion people. World hunger, listen to this, over 870 million people are in starvation. 870 million do not have enough to eat. That's more than the U.S. and Europe population combined. How about this? 1.4 billion people in developing countries live off of $1.25 a day. A day. Get this. This is heartbreaking. 225,000 people die every day from hunger-related causes. That's more than 1,000 per hour. Now, here you go. Here's something sobering for you. I'm not trying to be, yes, I am. Verse listen, if 25,000 people have been dying every day, 25,000 every day, yet right now, 849 COVID deaths a day, yet we didn't see the world outraged when 25,000 poor people are dying. You want to know? Because it's about the super rich. No one was going, we need to do something about this. We need to send millions and billions of dollars to these poor people to feed them. They're like, whatever, they're expendable. But now this COVID, and we're going to talk about it here in a moment. But here in America, we're comfortable, aren't we? Hey, we are. Listen, we take our wealth for granted. The kids at home got a refrigerator. They're like, there's nothing to eat. Well, did you look behind the food? There's food. Oh, there's nothing you feel like eating right now. There's nothing to wear, yet they got a closet full of clothes. Once I read, I don't remember what book it was, that the world had enough resources to make each person in the world a millionaire five times over. That's how much resources. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of greed, wealth, and hoarding. The super rich and the super poor. The black horse brings scarcity and famine. Listen, I wonder, if a loaf of bread is $80, how much is a toilet paper? Just a thought. It's a commodity, you know. Use leaves, yes, ma'am. Socks. A quart of wheat for a denarius. Three quarts of barley for a denarius. The cost of a day's wage for the ingredients of a bread. That's it. This will be a time of famine when life will be reduced to the barest necessities. Sad. Listen, this is not inflation. This is famine. Notice, though, I hope you caught this. Do not harm the oil or the wine. Now, there's three schools of thought. Two of them are wrong and one is right. Of course, I'm right. Watch. Well, you tell me if I'm right. One school of thought is that God is saying, you know what? At least, you know, leave the nicer things available to those who can afford it. Does that sound like God? No. No. I don't agree with that. How about this? Listen, one says, you know what? Allow man to be greedy and be drunk if they want to get drunk. Leave the wine. I don't agree with that either. That's a little closer. How about this? This is my school of thought. These are both part of the worship service. Wine for communion, oil for anointing. Listen, during this time of tribulation, don't get the wrong idea. There will be some people who get saved, very small people. A very small amount of people, but it's going to be so horrible. So God says, no, don't harm the wine because there's my remnant. I need to provide for them so they can still have communion and so they can anoint the sick. There's going to be a lot of sick. I believe that. Doesn't that sound like our God? You don't agree? Oh, okay. I must go fast. We'll go fast. Here's the pale horse in verse 7-8. And when he opened the fifth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. The word for pale horse is chlorios. Chlorios means green, yellowish pale. In other words, this horse looks really sickly. Green, greenish pale, yellow, like gangrene color. Just gross. Really gross looking horse. Now, this is the only horse that has a name. The rest of these have been in the desert on a horse with no name. This one, no names. This one has a name. The name of him who sat on it was death. Yay. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have told me that. And Hades, hell, followed him. He's got a companion. I'm glad he's not alone. He's conquering death and hell. That's what Satan wants for us. And power was given to him over, listen to this, over a fourth of the earth. A fourth. We'll look at that in a moment. To kill with the sword, with hunger, with death. Watch this. By the beasts of the earth. Now let me read from the ESV, the English Standard Version. It says, to kill with the sword, with famine, with pestilences, and by wild beasts of the earth. This pestilences, the word in the Greek, actually denotes livestock diseases, animal diseases like mad cow disease or the bird flu or a bat disease like COVID. Now, the COVID we have now, it's real. It's not as deadly as they thought it was going to be. In fact, the numbers are inflated. I can give you videos where officials are actually telling how they count people as having COVID. But I believe it's man-made. I do. I'm sorry if that sounds like conspiracy. I believe it's man-made. I think they have enough proof that's man-made. But I think what's going to happen is that they're going to make one more powerful to match what they thought it was going to do. Now, right now, God is restraining. By the way, did you know that 23,607 per year die from just the regular flu? Did you know that? That's a fact. Did you realize that no one has died this year from the regular flu? I don't know. It's kind of weird. Coinky dink, I guess. Okay. But at this time, a fourth of the world will die. You wanna know irony? Here's irony. We spend trillions and trillions on defense, on nuclear missiles, yet a fourth of the people are going to die from chickens, cows, and bats. Isn't that God? I mean, just going, really, you're going to spend all that money? You want to die? Here, have some chickens kill you. The colonel, he's back again. I'm sorry. That was a great laugh. I'm sorry. Okay. So we have a tremendous death toll. The Antichrist, war, famine, other calamities. No. Matthew 24, verse 21. Get back to the Word of God. That'll help. For there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world. Watch this. Until this time, no, nor shall ever be. Brothers and sisters, listen. The ones you love that do not know the Lord, should you not be rattling their cage and saying, what are you doing? Listen, I truly believe that it could be any time now. I'm going to be surprised if we get to the end of Revelation and things. Well, I'm not going to say I know when Jesus is coming, but I'll be surprised if we finish. The way things are ramping up. Now imagine, in the world there's 7.7 billion people. Let's say, let's be gracious, let's say 10% of that gets raptured. Whoosh. Awesome. But yet the horse is going to be able to kill a fourth of what remains. That could be 1.5 billion people. That equals South America, Central America, North America, Canada, and Europe combined. And you know what's worse than that? That 1.5 billion will probably be going to hell. And be in hell forever. Listen, this is, folks, this is just the beginning. This is the nice part of the bad stuff. This is the nice part. Chapter after chapter, what God is doing, he's not trying to scare us. He's trying to ignite us to be out there sharing with people who don't know Jesus that you need the Lord because he's coming soon. And then when he's gone, it's like the birth pain, like a woman giving birth. It'll be too late. If you don't know Jesus, you need him today. Now listen, here, as we wrap up, here, these four horsemen came to conquer. These four horsemen came to conquer. You know what's great? The Bible says, because of Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we are alive. We thank you that we know you. And Lord, if there is someone here this morning who do not know you, I pray that they will not leave here, because you could come back tonight. You could come back to, we don't know when you're coming back. I don't know. Tomorrow, next week, next year, I don't know. But it is soon. No doubt. There is no doubt. If there's ever been a time that we can say it soon, there's never been a time like now. And so, Lord, I do pray if there's anyone who needs to accept you, that they would come forward and they would pray with one of the deacons who are up front, that they would confess their sins, not to these men, but to you, Lord. That they would not worry about who's to the right or to the left, but they would come forward for prayer. And if there is someone sick or someone dealing with anxiety or dealing with something, that they would allow these two deacons to pray for them, to anoint them with oil, and to bless them. Lord, we need prayer. We need salvation. And Lord, if anyone's not saved, will you please really just, if you hear the Holy Spirit calling your name, will you just come up front during this song that we're going to sing, and these deacons will pray with you. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you whisper to us. You never yell, but you offer Christ to us. And so, Lord, right now we pray that if anyone is feeling this need, that they would come forward. And for the rest of us, that we would realize that we are to be ignited, because we can look up because our redemption draws nigh. Lord, we love you. Father God, we adore you. Holy Spirit, we need you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing one last song. And if you need to come forward, we got deacons here to pray with you. God bless.